All right. Yes. Okay. Let's turn to Genesis. We're going to be in chapter 41. The title of the message this morning is Blessing During Famine. As I watch the scope of the Christian folks, I got a chance to talk to Robbie Morrison the other day. He was pretty down in the dumps, and he was talking about what's happening in the military with all the chaplains and things that they are not allowed to do. I think some rules have been set down that they're trying to restrict what a chaplain can do to nothing, basically just be there for the folks, and they're having a hard time with that right now. And we got to talking a little bit, and he said, you know, it's amazing how you go from church to church to church, and revival used to be happiness. Revival used to be rah-rah. Revival used to be excitement. And he's saying, you know, it's amazing to me how we go to church, and it seems like the spirit is starting to dwindle. The spirit of the Lord is starting to dry up. The world has come in and taken over. And as I think about our own church here, I believe we have pretty good excitement here. I really do. But at the very same time, I know that from time to time, it seems to me that folks are a little bit more depressed than they are happy. And it seems to me that from time to time, and I go through this too, I really do, where it's, we spend more time thinking about the bad than we spend time thinking about the good. And I feel bad about that because the Lord is good all the time. There's never a time when the Lord's not good. I know you hear that over and over and over again, and that's almost depressing to some of us to hear that the Lord's good at all the time, and then we say, well, why isn't He good to me? Amen. It got quiet on that one. I started to hear rumblings of amens, and then, well, why isn't He good to me came up, and you say, that's right, I've said that to myself before. I've got to be honest with you, God's good to you too. God's good to every single last one of us. And I want to read some verses, and this is where I believe it's at. I really do. When I read over this, this is the thought. There's a train of thought that I've been having for quite some time, and it's not one of those things where I'm going to tell you to suck it up and get right. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in an attitude change. I'm interested in a thought process where we as Christians come to the realization of how very, very well we have it. I'm not saying that bad things don't happen. They certainly do. And bad things happen to some of those wonderful people in the whole wide world. And you can't even figure out why they're happening to them. But understand this. God has given us a way to get through those times. He's given us a way to do it. And I want to kind of show you what that is today in the Old Testament thought process and an Old Testament way that they got through something that was very, very important. And it showed how Israel actually even came to be as a great nation. So if we look in Genesis chapter 41, let's all stand together, give you a chance to stretch your legs one more time. I won't keep you long today, but I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. I'm very excited about what the Lord is doing. This is a great time to be alive. This is a great time to see the Lord do it one more time. Amen. If we look at Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 25, the Bible says, "And Joseph said to Pharaoh, 'The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine." Look at this now. "And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Brother Jack Dollar, can you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for each and everyone in your house, Lord. Please keep everyone wide awake and listening to your word, Lord, and bless it to our heart. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to make a few statements. The first statement is this. We certainly experience blessing. We certainly experience blessing. 70 times in the Bible, you see the word blessing. 70 times, 70 different verses, the word blessing appears. And we as Christians, to be real honest with you, we experience blessings quite often. If you'd be honest with yourself and try to remember back at some of the great things that God has done in your life, I've got to be honest with you, I don't think it'd take you very long to number up to 10, 20, 30, 40 times when God has blessed you, when it doesn't seem like it should happen, doesn't seem like it should come together, but then God comes through, God blesses, God takes it away, or whatever it is going on in your life, and I can't even begin to expect to know exactly what you've had happen in your life. But know this, I know that God has done something wonderful in each and every one of your lives at one time or another, and more times often than not, we have things happen in our life, and we are so excited about the goodness and the mercy and the wonder that is our Almighty God. I've got to be honest with you. We as Christians, we know that we being saved, we are on a different level than other folks. We should be so excited about the simple fact that this world is not our home. I mean, how many are excited that Ravenna's not your home? I looked out last night. I couldn't even see his house. Lord, come quickly. And I'm getting texts from people that live in Arizona that I developed a great disdain for in the midst of the text, wishing that God would move this great cloud of storm to the west to dump on them the snow that they had prayed so heavily to see. Because their prayers answered, they're just not here to see it. But we've got to be honest. And Christian, you need to hear this first part. You gotta. Christian, you've got to come to grips with this. You've got to admit, and you've got to know that God's been good to you. You got to know. We don't understand what's going on in my life, but isn't it wonderful that the one that's good to you does? I can't explain the bad things. I can't explain the tears. But I know this, that God is still good. Number two, it is very good to share the blessings of God. You know, it's amazing to me. I watch the attitude of people. And I fit in this sometimes. I got to be honest with you. I fit in this sometimes. Where somebody will tell me about a great monetary blessing. How many absolutely love to hear about great monetary blessings that somebody else gets? Yeah. So anyways, I hear time after time preachers getting up there, well, I wish I had this, and then pow, there it is. And I prayed for this, and pow, there it was. And somebody else, pow, and there it was. And we just had a great prayer answered just not too long ago for that family that needed that furnace. People of Bethel came together, and God blessed in a great and mighty way. You know, it's amazing to me that we see these things happen, and it's good. It's good to let you know, only because it's good to know that God is still working. It's good to know that God is still doing things for His people. It's good to know that God is still taking care of His own. And let me explain something to you. I know that you may not like His methods, but He's God and He's right. And I'm telling you these things, and my wife shudders when I preach on this kind of stuff because she knows something bad is coming. And that's the truth. Glory to God, He's so great. And amen. She hates it when I preach on Job because she knows that something's coming to add to our patience. Don't ever pray for patience. God will give you some. How do you get patience? By going through bad stuff. Don't pray for patience. Pray for deliverance, for goodness sake. But here we are as Christians, knowing how good God has been to us, knowing that in the past time God has been good to us, knowing that we ought to share what God has done for us. I've got to be honest with you. If I would go back in time and recount all of the things that God has done for me, it would take me hours and hours and hours to share how good God's been in my life and how many things He's done for me, let alone just being my daddy, let alone just taking care of me by myself. In my spiritual condition, material, good things that you would hold as, oh, I need this, and God has taken care of it. Great care, number three, must be taken to give God the glory for the blessings. Great care. What happens in our life is this. We get to a position, I've seen this a lot, where men say that I'm getting blessed because I'm so good. And you know you've heard it. Don't look at me, oh, that's horrible. You're being blessed because you put so much money in. You're being blessed because your prosperity is because you're so good. Well, you know how I feel about that. We're all sinners. I don't know of one person in here that deserves God's blessings. I can't put my finger on one man or woman that has lived their life good enough that God ought to bless them. I'm fairly certain the Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. Fairly certain it says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Fairly certain it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. So I'm fairly certain that we're all on the same level playing field. Would you not agree? And I know that bad times come. I know those things happen, but I'm going to tell you, it's great care when God does give you deliverance, great care when God does give you blessing, great care when God does something wonderful for you. It's most important that you say, thank you, God, for doing those wonderful things for me.
Amen.
We look at Genesis after making these statements. I believe this is the answer. I believe God is showing you through Joseph here. By the way, if you ever want to do a study on an exceptional man, do a study on Joseph. He went through some times that, good night, he could have given up. Sold out by his family. Falsely accused and thrown in prison. And always did good. Never told God he was doing bad. And as we look at these things, he gets the chance to interpret a dream. The Lord gives him this wonderful ability to interpret this dream. And Pharaoh's looking for someone who can. His worldly magicians and his worldly soothsayers can't do it because God is the one that gives the correct interpretation of those kind of things. So he brought this God's man. He appears before Pharaoh and says, there are going to be 7 wondrous years of plenty. And Christian, I want to stop there for a moment because I want you to know this. If you read these scriptures, and I'll get to this in 1 second, I want to set this up very simply. There has been times in your life of plenty where you can't even imagine how good God's been. I've seen you. I've watched you. I've been here for 20 years. I've watched God do things in your life. I've watched God and seen God do wondrous miracles. I've seen God give you plenty where you're taking in blessings by the handfuls, according to the Bible. Where you're taking in joy and love and wonder, and you can't wait to get to church. You can't wait to get to the altar. You can't wait for the plates to be passed. Your life is going well. God is great. Everything's wondrous. And the time is a plenty time. A time is, oh, Lord, have mercy. He's so good. You can't wait to tell people. You can't wait to show them. You can't wait to say, God is so good. My challenge to you is this today. When you have a time of blessing, don't forget to put some of that in the storehouse. Don't forget to take some of those blessings and put them in that storehouse. Joseph said, Pharaoh, it's going to get real bad. I'm telling you, it's going to get bad. I'm telling you as a preacher of the Word of God, I've been doing it for 20 years, it's going to get bad. There's going to be times in your life you're not going to understand what God is doing. There's going to be times in your life of spiritual dearth. But you know what? You've spent a good time, a good 7 years of plenty. A good 7 years of God blessing you. A good 7 years of God taking and giving to you and pouring out the windows of heaven and showing you what you need and being so good and loving. And we say, oh, so wonderful. It's my challenge to you to take those times and put them in a storehouse, a fifth part, and go ahead and put them in the storehouse and say, oh man, I'm going to save all these and I'm going to remember. Genesis 41. And I want you to see again verse 31. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by the reason of that famine. You know, I've watched Christians leave church because the famine came. And by the way, spiritual famine is, it's amazing how we bring it on ourselves, and sometimes God is blamed for it. I got to be honest with you, Christian, there's times that we bring spiritual dearth on ourselves. How do you get the garden to grow? You weed it. You feed it. You water it. Christian life is no different. The Christian life is no different. If you want to change your life as a Christian to get closer to the Lord, you've got to pull some of the weeds out. You've got to get closer to the Lord. You cannot live half in and half out. You can't do it. Your garden will not grow correctly. God's so good, He'll still give you some fruit, by the way. But I'm going to be honest with you, it won't be as good as it could have been had you gotten some of those weeds out. Beyond that, you've got to feed your garden. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater feed than the Word of God. If you want to have a spiritual dearth, go ahead and stop reading your Bible. If you want to have a spiritual dearth, stop watering that thing. Stop praying to the Lord. Stop talking to Him. Stop having conversations with God. I promise you that will bring spiritual dearth. But that's not the dearth I'm talking about. That's the dearth that we brought on ourselves because we ruined our relationship with God. Not that God wanted that relationship ruined, but that we ruined the relationship with God, not doing the things that God has asked us to do. Can you imagine having access to the Almighty? Can you imagine being beckoned, come boldly to the throne of grace? He desires us to come, and yet there we will not go. We have the opportunity to come before God Himself. How many of us don't take that responsibility? We don't take that opportunity. We would rather scuffle along through our life wondering why God won't do anything instead of talking to Him about it. We bring on our own spiritual dearth. We bring on our own spiritual desert. You know, it's amazing to see people that go to church all their lives and walk through the desert every day to get here. They come to church, won't put a dime in the plate. You want to see a Christian that's going through a spiritual dearth? That's one that won't put anything in here. You can get mad at me all you want to. Here we are. If you're a good, if you're a Christian that has a relationship with God, a spirit-filled relationship with God, you can't wait to give to Him. You can get mad at me. Go ahead. Scowl at me, but you know I'm right. God's a giving God. And if you love Him that much and you understand what the relationship is with Him, you'll start giving to Him. By the way, this is not given to Pastor Skiver. This is not given to Pastor Ballard. This is not given to Bethel Baptist Church. This is given to God. You want to see a Christian going through a spiritual wasteland, you'll see a Christian that just passes that plate and doesn't put anything in it. You want to see Christians in a spiritual wasteland, you'll see a Christian that comes to church and doesn't pray before they get here. They don't pray before they get here because they have shown up, they've filled their seat, but they really don't want to change. They've showed up, they've gotten here, but they're really just waiting for church to end. This is not a time clock job. This is not something you punch in and punch out on the way out. There is no overtime. What this is, it's a hospital. This is a hospital where Christians come that have been damaged throughout the whole week, that need to be re-energized or rededicated their lives. They need something from God. And it's the place that they come searching for blessings. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to do something for yourself, pray for the pastors to have the right message. If you want to get out of your spiritual wasteland, start praying for the people that are preaching to you. No matter who they are. I don't care. We've got great preachers here. Every one of them can bring a message from God to your heart if you will just pray for them. This message has been on my heart for weeks. I've been wanting to bring this message for weeks. Why? Because I know the life that I live. And I know there's times I walk through the desert. I know there's times I walk through the wasteland. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's no fun being there. But sometimes we bring them on ourselves. But you know there's other wastelands. Nicole, there's wastelands that God brings in our life. Boy, that doesn't sound like God, does it? That God that is love. That God that is wondrous care and hope. That doesn't sound like it should be Him. Why would He do that to us? It's amazing to me. That God cannot be examined. Can I tell you that? Don't try to find out God. You act like, God, if I do these things, unless it's a promise in the Scripture, God's not bound by your thoughts. He may have bound himself in his word, but you can't bind him. You've got no hope to answer God. He's God. I tell you what, let you give him an answer when it came to your salvation. Are you that good son that you should be saved? Boy, it got quiet. I know that's an old thought, and it probably will be rehashed a million more times from this pulpit, but I glory in God the fact that he saw this old wretched sinner and decided to send his only begotten son to suffer and die the worst death that's ever happened for me. God has every right to bring a spiritual dearth in my life. Why would he do it? Why would he do it? Well, I'm going to tell you. This spiritual dearth, this time of famine, horrible over the whole earth, this time of famine brought great deliverance. I don't understand it. I can't explain to you why God does what he does. But I believe I have the answer that we can hold on to. The plenty in verse 31 says, shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. If you look over at Genesis 41:53, the Bible says, and the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. We talk about these highs and lows of the church history. We talk about these highs and lows of the church times. I'm going to be honest with you. The mega churches, if you look throughout history, mega churches are relatively new. But if you go back into history, let's say studying the Word of God and its history, I bet you the vast majority of the churches that I've read about and I've studied have been no more than a household full. And we think that we have to have 8 million people to have a revival. We think that we have to have 8 million people to get out of this spiritual dearth, but I got to be honest with you, you don't need 8 million people. You only need one. And to get out of your spiritual dearth, and I'm talking to you today, yes, I'm preaching to you. You can say, oh my goodness, I came to church and he preached right at me. Yes, I did. I'm preaching right to you. You that are in the wasteland, you that are in the desert, you are the one that are not experiencing God's blessings anymore. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a way to get out. The 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph has said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Let me tell you something. There will be times of dearth. Your life will have times of desert. Yes, it will. You may not be experiencing right now. You may be experiencing right now. I couldn't care less. But if you're not, it's coming. There's times that you're not going to like. Why? Because this world is sin-cursed. Can't get away from it. It is sin-cursed. But I want to tell you right now, when they go through all these things, I want you to see this little statement. 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. You may be going through a bad time, but inside of you, you should have something stored up. Inside of you, there should be something that you can hold on to. Inside of you, there should rest a praise. Inside of you should rest a moment in time that God has been good to you. Inside of you, there should be a moment, there should be a thought, there should be a prayer, there should be an answer, there should be something that you can hold on to, that you put in store, that you knew when the dearth came, you could hold on to that thought. Because even though we had 7 years of plenteousness, there may be 7 years of dearth, but the dearth will end. And when it ends, could you hold on? Could you have held on to that one thought of how good God was to you? That'll take your soul winning when you don't want to go. I hope to God you're listening to me today. I'm sick and tired of depressed people. And I understand. I get it. But why do we linger there? Why do we linger? Why do we stay there? Why do you stay in that place where God is forgotten? Everything good God has done is forgotten. The plenteousness was forgotten because of the famine. Why do people drop out of church? Why do people quit coming on Wednesday nights? Huh? Why do people quit coming on Sunday school mornings? I'm the Sunday school teacher. I've got to be honest with you. I never toot my horn about this kind of stuff, but I believe Sunday school is pretty good. I put a lot of time in that. And I'm going to tell you right now, you could do worse than getting up another hour early. How about you cut back one cup of coffee and come to church? So you got to understand something. Why are you going through a spiritual dearth? Because you're not asking for God to get you out. You're not taking time to remember the great things God has done. Do you know we've had invitations in Sunday school? Because God came down in such a way that we just had to thank Him? I hope you don't miss this. I don't care about me. I never have. It has got nothing to do with me. But God shows up here. I'm amazed how we don't want to. That where I am, there ye may be also is not just heaven. Boy, I wish you'd get a hold of that. That where I am, there you maybe also can be your whole life. You can seek God out wherever you are, but boy, it sure does work good when there's an altar to be had. It sure does work good when there's a place that we're gathering together and not disobeying what God has told us. Why are we in a spiritual dearth? See, we forget because of the dearth that's in our life. You don't understand, Brother Dave. I can't pay my bills. Well, you shouldn't have made them. Believe me, I'm with you. I made bills. I was stupid when I was younger. I understand all those things. And boy, you want to see a man droop his shoulders, you get him to a position where he can't make it financially for his family. You want to see a man that, boy, you got to be a man to understand it. If I couldn't put food on a table for my family, I don't know what I'd do. That's my job. I'm a man. Like it or lump it, I'm a man. I look in the mirror in the morning, I see a man. And I'm not trying to make fun right now, but I see a man that desires to take care of his family, desires to take care of the things of God. I desire to lead them spiritually, even though sometimes I fail. But that's my desire. And there are times that our family goes through dearth. There's times that our family goes through the wilderness, sometimes being brought on by us, but sometimes also being brought on by God. Good, godly people are not immune to dearth. Good godly people are not immune to bad things happening to them. But I'm going to tell you, as all of us standing here today, you must understand that we should have something in the storehouse. We should have something that we knew this day was coming. Your salvation excitement is generally short-lived. Glory to God, I'm saved. Woohoo! Nothing like seeing a brand new Christian, man. They walk with a different strut. They have a different smile, different light in their eyes. But you give them 6 months, they got the same light in their eyes that you've got right now. Man, I just Brother Dave, would just shut up. This is not interesting at all. And it's really snowy outside. The Clipper's coming through. Preacher's panicking. We should get out of here. It's a dearth out there. You might as well just stay in here where it's warm. The problem is, it's getting warm in here. And that's why you don't like it so much. I've never been afraid to step wherever God wants me to step. If your foot happens to be there, it's going to get stepped on. What has God done for you? And there's 7 years of plenteousness. When nothing could go wrong. You ever had times? I have, where every step I took, there's God. Whew. There's God. Whew. There's God. Whew. You ever had days? I mean, come on now. God's done that for you. Where you can't believe He delivered you out of something. I'll give you some examples. When the boys and Betty, boy, wasn't that a deliverance? Huh? And then I got deliverance watching them sing for the Lord. Amen. See, that's deliverance for me. May not be for you. But I saw it as that little boy standing up there going, singing for the Lord. Malachi, just letting it rip. What would he have been doing back home? Huh? But here he is singing for the Lord. See, that to me is deliverance. Ray, when the bad times come, hold on to that deliverance. Hold on. Hold on to what God's done for you. Hold on to it. Don't release it. Tell everybody about it. And then when the bad times come, yeah, I know God's not doing so good right now, but glory to God, Colton. He delivered those babies out of California. Hey, I don't know everything you're going through, but God does, and he's given you some great times. Hold on to him. Quit cursing him and start praising him for the things that he has done. Don't let this verse describe you. Don't let this verse describe the Christian that they forgot about the good things God has done. He loved me one time, but he's sure not loving me now. I got to be honest with you. I chastise my children, probably not enough. And I chastise the kids in the school. And sometimes they don't like to see me coming. I walk into the kindergarten room, and all the kids are like frozen in time. He's got to be here for someone else. He can't be here for me. What have I done? You see them start to think, did I do something at recess? Did Miss Kaylee tell on me somewhere? Did another child tell on me? And I don't know why it is. I think it's principle. I've never been mean to anybody. And I think it's because principle is a natural progression to hatred. But do they remember the good time? See, dearth is coming. But it doesn't mean that God's being bad. I wonder if God's just seeing if we'll hold on to the things that he has done. I don't want us to be those Christians that forget. I know that Brother Turner has a stupid memory. He remembers things, god awful. It's humbling, is what it is. You get in this. What day did this person do this on the seventh somersault? Oh, that was December 7, 1962. And he just has all these things in his head. When did preacher buy his first car? Bah, 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 bah. He's got the whole date in his head. We don't remember driving him, Brother Bill does. I remember putting a cup on his bumper. He was driving my big yellow truck. Is that correct? I put my cup on his bumper, and I said, if you can make it all day without that cup falling off, you've done something good. He did. Made it the whole day without that cup falling off. Don't ever spill my coffee. He's got a fantastic memory. Now, wait, I'm using this for a point. Photographic. My wife has that, too. Dates. Oh, my goodness. She knows all your birthdays. I hope you know that. It's crazy. Except mine. Anyways. He's got a fantastic memory. I wish we did. You know what's amazing to me? By the way, Phyllis, that was hilarious. I heard that. Then you're just going to have to live on current blessings, Phyllis, and stop walking out the back door of the Becca building. Good Lord, have mercy. You told her, and that's she probably forgot. That's what she's going through right now. She's old. And don't go out the back door. Don't go out the back door. Don't go out the back door. We've got plenty of people. Don't do it. Don't do it. And she goes out and breaks her wrist. Now, that's on her. Because we done told you. That's what I should have told. We done told you. He's got a fantastic memory. Remembers everything. But what I'm trying to key on today is remembering the things that God has done for you. And by the way, let me tell you, don't act like I'm preaching this because it's easy. Huh? This is not an easy thing to be going through the wilderness. It's not an easy thing to be going through dearth. It's not an easy thing to be going through bad times. It's just not. It's not. It never has been. But if you could hold on to that one glimmer of hope, Nicole, if you can grab on to that one glimmer of hope and hold on to that and say, you know what, God, I remember you doing this for me. It wouldn't surprise me, God, if you did something else. He gave you Sean. Oh, let's not use that as an example. He gave us good things. He gave us good things. He may not be doing it right now, but I've got to be honest with you. The next point I'm going to make is maybe it is. See, maybe dearth can be a good thing. Maybe dearth can be a great thing. Maybe dearth sometimes is what we need from God. I got to be honest with you. I don't think God ever gives you something you don't need. I think you need to examine what God has given us. When we get the blessing, examine what God has given us. Hold on to that. Put it in the storehouse. When He brings the dearth, examine why the dearth is here. Examine that dearth. Say, why do I have a dearth? But you know what? We're going through the dearth. I'm going to hold on to what He's done in the past. We'll keep reading in verse 54. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Glory to God. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses. Did you see what he opened? He didn't open new food. He didn't open new blessings. Do you know what he did? He told them about the 7 years of plenty. He didn't complain about what's going on right now. Boy, that went over like a lead brick. He didn't complain about what was going on right now because God had set up deliverance in the storehouse. And said unto Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. I'm going to tell you right now, it was not because Joseph was not in the dearth. It was not because Joseph was not in the wilderness. It was not because Joseph was not suffering from the famine. Joseph was in the same place everybody else was, but he had in his storehouses the blessings of the 7 years of plenty. He had the blessings before. And what he did, he opened them up and showed everyone that this is how God works. He opened up the storehouse, says, I know it's a tough time right now, but God has already taken care of us. I can't understand it. I don't see it sometimes. Sometimes I say, God, I don't get it. But He's always taken care of me. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, I think what we ought to do is take some of that blessing that we've held on to in the past, and I think we ought to save it. So that way when the famine comes and the dearth is in all the land, everybody can see. They all came, listen to me, this is good stuff. They all came to one man. Huh? He was the one that had the storehouses filled. Come on now, who'd they come to? They came to Joseph. Why did they come to Joseph? Because Joseph had blessings in store. Do you want to know why you're maybe going through the time of dearth? You know why you may be going through the time of wilderness? I'm telling you it's coming. By the way, Joseph told the Pharaoh it's coming. The Pharaoh let him go ahead and store the blessings. I'm going to tell you right now, in your life, it's coming. You may be in the middle of it right now, but I'm going to tell you, in your memory banks is a storehouse full of blessings that you've seen, that you know, that you've felt, that you've experienced. And God wants you to open up those storehouses and show Brother Colton that I don't care if you're going through a bad time, son. There's a place that you can go and praise God even in the bad times. Why? Because they had stuff stored up. Don't let your famine be so sore that you forget about the plenty that God has done for you. Don't let your famine be so sore that you forget about how great God is. Don't let your times be so bad. And they can be bad to a point that I can't explain. And this is not easy. I guarantee it took a lot of work for them to harvest all those blessings and put it in a storehouse. It took a lot of work to recall in the midst of their famine. It took a lot of work. And Joseph knew it. Joseph understood it was coming. God let him have that information. Just like God's letting you have that information today. We're not new to this, Christian. We're not. And I'm going to tell you, I understand that bad times are coming, but it's amazing to me. The bad times that Joseph went through brought great deliverance to all his people. Do you know, let me tell you this. I know I talk about Brother Sells and Preacher all the time. I really do. But I don't care. Psst. You know, when we talk about deliverance, it means something coming from him. Amen? When we talk about deliverance, it means something coming from him. Why? These men were almost dead. This man, it was in coma for 14 days. One more day, he had to have a trach tube stuck in. But you know, it's amazing that God had different plans. That is something that he'll hold on to the rest of his days. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how much wilderness, no matter how much dearth, God kept me alive. In my life, I use that too. And do you know his deliverance has brought great deliverance to me at times? Do you know his deliverance, his desire to serve the Lord, his desire? By the way, I don't care what you think right now. You may think I'm holding up a man on prayer. Whatever. I'll hold you up on one if you stay faithful to God. What's amazing to me is this. I watch men that I've not gone through these things. I've not gone through this heartache. But I see them, and I see them walking down the aisles to go pray at the altar. I see them walking down the aisles to pray for a loved one. And by the way, there's many faithful men in here. I'm just picking on these two right now. But understand this. I watch your faith. I watch what you do for the Lord. I know that you're going through some bad times. And I watch you still serve God. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes that gets me out of my dearth. See, the famine that they lived through, the stuff that they stored up was not just for Joseph. Do you understand that he stored up enough to supply everybody? Do we have enough blessings in us to supply for our family? Do we have enough stuff stored up in us that God has done for us that we could even help one person out of their wilderness? Or have you forgotten because you're in the dearth? You've forgotten all the things that God's done for you. Oh, it's so bad right now. I don't think I'm coming back to this church. Brother Dave's too loud, spits too much. I'm not changing. So if you don't like that preaching, run along. This is who I am. This is why I'm made up. I'm not saying right or wrong. Couldn't care less. This is the way God made me. Ornery and ugly. You didn't have to say amen to that, Kenny. I got the microphone, buddy. I'm going to tell you right now, do you realize that what he stored up was not just for him? And I'm going to tell you, if he can be delivered, so can I. If he can be delivered, so can I. If I can come out, if they can come out, I can come out. Why? Because I can store up blessings too. We get so preoccupied with our own dearth. It's amazing. If Christians had to go to the storehouse to get out of their dearth, a lot of Christians would fall to death. Why?
Because we just don't like church.
Church tells on me. Preachers get mad at me. You know, we're just trying to direct you to the storehouse. We're just trying to show you where to go. Can I draw your attention to the simple fact that the storehouse didn't come to them? Can I draw your attention to the fact, Jimmy, that there was food? But can I tell you this? If Israel would not have taken all of his people to Egypt, what would he have done? Huh? I understand Egypt is a picture of the world, but they were going to Goshen to be delivered. Am I not right? What if he doesn't go, Colton? I know the greatest thing we can do when we're in bad times is stay home from church. Huh? You'll die there. And I'm not talking physically, although some of you may. Sometimes I think that would be really cool. Missed a church service.
Blech. That's horrible.
I bet you the church would be full the next service. Ananias and Sapphira came to the door. I gave everything. I bet you the tithe was up the next week. Just a thought. Put that on the internet. We have to be proactive of getting out of our dearth. We've got to be proactive of helping us to survive. It wasn't the best situation for them, but it was the situation that delivered them. It may not be the best to go and beg food and pay for food and then give up your lands and eventually give up yourselves to survive. But I've got to be honest with you. I see a pattern here spiritually. I see a pattern of getting removed out of the bad times. This is the pattern. This is so good. What? Take this for what it's worth. Everything they held dear, they let go to be delivered, to sustain life, to sustain spirituality, to sustain, if I can liken this to spirituality. Then they gave up their possessions of land, things that they would hold most dear. They gave up, why? So they could survive the dearth. You know what they gave up last? They gave up themselves. You know, spiritually, what are you holding on to that's keeping you in the wilderness? You didn't like this ending, did you? What are you holding on to that won't deliver you? You've got storehouses, but you got to go to them. It's going to cost you a little bit to get into them. You may have to pay some to get your deliverance. You may have to pay some. But what do we have that we cannot give? I'm not asking you to bring everything up here. I'm not asking you to be a New Testament church. Okay. I'm not asking. See, I get questioned. Well, I don't see tithing in the New Testament anywhere. Well, that's okay. We can use your New Testament philosophy if you'd like. Let's turn to Acts and watch how they brought everything. Would you like to be 100% givers, or should we just stick with 10% plus offerings? And the church says amen. See, here's what happens in our life. We get something that we hold on to that keeps us in the wilderness. We stay in that wilderness, and I watch people get delivered. I watch them finally come to grips with, God, I've got to give you myself. That's all I have left. And then there's the deliverance. You know, I wonder if sometimes God doesn't put these things in our life just to wake us up a little bit. Because the Christian life can become melancholy. The Christian life can become old hat. The Christian life can become status quo. Do you know why I know that? Because I watch my life. I watch your life. I'm telling you, I like to observe and watch Christians work. And sometimes it frightens me, knowing that you're walking in the wilderness, refusing to come out. Knowing you're walking in the wilderness that God has put before you. I don't know why God does the things that he does, but I watch. And I'm begging you, Christian, this is it today. I'm begging you to remember your storehouse. Remember those blessings. God has given you a memory. Most of you he hasn't taken it away from, except for Mrs. Knight. You have these wonderful memories that God has given you. Wonderful. That you can recall things. You can remember the things that God has done. I'm begging you, challenging you, praying that you will, beseeching for a biblical term. to remember. If you're in the hard time, remember the good. Don't forget the plenty. Don't let the famine wax so sore in your life that you can't recall the 7 years of plenty. And go to the storehouse. Go to that storehouse. Make a point to make sure that you stay in God's service, even in the wilderness. Stay in God's service. Stay praying. Stay reading. I don't want to read. I know you don't want to read. Read anyhow. I don't want to pray. I know you don't want to pray. Pray anyhow. It's not working. Yes, it is. Just stay with God. You're almost out. It's almost over. You've almost made it through. And then when you make it through, tell everyone how God has blessed you and taken you out and delivered you from that wilderness that you're in, even today. Because there's going to be a day and I'm all done. You may not understand this, but it's the truth. If he would keep inside his blessing, he would keep inside his blessing. I would keep inside all the great things that God has done for us. You can get to the storehouse, but the storehouse will be empty to you. But if you can remember all the things that God has done, even go home and make a list today. I double dog, diggle, ding, dong, dare you. I dare you. Make a list of the good things that God has done. Make sure that you begin with salvation. That should be enough in the storehouse to fill it and overflow it, by the way. Make a list of the things that God has done. Make a list. And then when you're going through bad times, claim them. Oh, God has done this for me. Oh, he's such a good God. And then when he delivers you out of the wilderness, go help somebody else. Christian, Joseph could have kept everything to himself, but Joseph decided to share the deliverance with everybody. He decided to share his testimony, share what he's gotten so the people can know. Good Lord have mercy, you guys frown so much, you get mad so much, you blame God so much, who would come to your storehouse? Hi, I'm here for the storehouse. Well, God's stupid. Don't ever come here, he hates me. That's what we live our life like sometimes. That you may find humor in that, but that's the truth. We go to each other and all we can think of is what another person is wearing to church. All we can think of is how much somebody else is missing. All we can think about is how bad somebody else is. Glory to God. That's not how we get people out of the dirt. We help get people out of the dirt by showing them what God has done for you. Telling them what God is. Because he is good. I know that this was not a popular message, but it is one thing if it's anything at all. It is now a responsibility. It's a responsibility to not let your life get to the point where you forget how good God is. It is a responsibility not only that, store up some of that stuff inside of your storehouses. Not only that, help to deliver others. Because what else are we here for? Preacher, what are we here for? Brother, are we here to deliver ourselves? Huh? Are you here for you? I want to be here for those babies. That's what I want to be here for. I want to be here for those babies. To let them know that God still does. To let them know that God still works. To let them know that God is still great. God is still wonderful. And being a Christian is still possible in this day and age. Why? Because we've got stuff in the storehouse that says so. And we're going to show you when we open up those doors and open up those windows of the blessings that God has already given us. Well, you're just rehashing stuff. I would love to rehash some good times in your life and put a smile on your face. It hasn't been smiled so long, it might break.
I'm so tired of you bringing doomsday message. Well, this isn't a doomsday. This is a happy day. This is happy days. Sunday, Monday, happy day. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy day.
Old folks are saying, oh, yeah, happy days. Hey, I'm going to tell you, in your life, your responsibility is not necessarily to be happy all the time, but it is to be filled with praises for your Lord. Joseph not only delivered all of Egypt, Joseph, using God's blessings, has delivered his whole family, has delivered the nation of Israel, and when the famine was over, they found a place called Goshen. And there was the entire Israeli race multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. God blessed them so much. Christian, wouldn't you like to see the times of blessing so much? I wonder if maybe sometimes we have to live through a dearth to get there. Even remembering, you know, I bet you the plenty that was had after the famine, think about this for a minute. The plenty that was had after the famine, I bet you the storehouses paled in comparison to watching the Red Sea part. Huh? Now that's deliverance. See, we live our lives with the responsibility as a Christian, I'm all done. This is it. The responsibility as a Christian is to remember how good God is, even in the times of the wilderness. To have praises of Him on our lips, even when they're parched from being so thirsty. To have thankfulness to our God, even in times of tragedy, even in times of torment. That's not easy. Make you a storehouse today of good things that God has done for you to help you through the wilderness, because eventually you're going to have to help somebody else. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Even if it's someday that you're going to just be able to sit there and listen. Do you know, I watch people counsel a lot. You know, you don't have to talk to counsel somebody. Well, that's odd. You know, if you're just there for somebody and you tell them that you love them, you know, sometimes that's all they need. I'll never forget. My wife and I were going through a real hard time. And a preacher boy came up to us. I almost killed him. In the name of the Father, Son. And his answer for our dilemma, what did you do? What kind of sin was in your life to bring this upon your family? And I didn't have an answer because I wanted to kill him. Whatever. I mean, okay, I know. I'm not that way. I'm a very emotional person. I wanted to kill him. And I said, I don't know. Maybe God's trying us out a little bit. Because I wasn't happy. But I do know this, I wasn't about to blame God. And that's not easy. Be careful what you say to people. Sometimes people just want to come to the storehouse. That's all. Sometimes people need help just remembering how good God is. Because we're all going through a hard time. Dr. Howells used to say, be good to everybody. Because everybody's going through a hard time. Be a place where people can come to find out how good God is. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord God, you show us over and over and over again your greatness. Lord, help me to be one that has a storehouse ready to have the doors opened. Lord, so many times I fail you when it comes to encouraging people. So many times I fail you when it comes to helping people and open up all the great things that you've done for me. Oh God, help me. Even in bad times, Lord, help me. Even in the hard times, God, help me. Help me to open up my storehouse and remember how good you are. Lord, don't let the days of famine become so great that we forget about the days of plenty. Lord God, don't let the famine wax so sore that we can't find our way to the storehouse. Oh God, help us. Help us to realize, recall where we got deliverance. Help us to remember how good you've been. Lord, help us to cling to those things, even when we're in the times of dearth. Lord, be with these Christians today. Oh, they need you. Please, God, help us even in this day, even as such a day as this, we can see great success in your church, because I don't believe, God, that you've ever changed. So, Lord, help us today as Christians to realize a responsibility, the responsibility to make people feel better about you. Lord, help us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, how many can say, you know what? I know that I know that I know that I know that the top of my list of blessings is my salvation. I know that I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I can lift my hand up real tall in testimony to that. Could you put your hands up for me today? You may put them down. I did not see one hand that did not go up. But I must ask, has there been one that you didn't even let God into your storehouse? You'd rather put clouded memories there. You'd rather put bitterness there. You'd rather put gall there and misery. Well, I'm telling you, open up those doors and kick all that stuff out. Store in there the good times. Store in there the wondrous times. Store in there the times that God's been good to you. I promise you, the storehouse will not be able to contain His goodness. How many can say, I don't know? Oh, I don't even have that initial memory of being saved. I don't know, but I sure would like to know. I have no idea if I'd go to heaven right now if I died, but I want to know. Can you put your hand up for me? Would there be one today? Christian, we've got a job to do, even in such a day as this. We've got to let folks know how good God is. And we're not going to do that with closed storehouses. We're not going to do that without praise on our lips about a wonderful Savior. We're not going to do that by being lackluster in our Christianity. And I know this. None of this is easy. Please don't think that I'm being condescending right now to you. I understand it's not easy. It's not easy for me. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't ever want my life to be in a place where I forget how good God's been because of how it currently is. It's never that bad. It's never that bad to outshine the good. It's never that bad to outshine what God has done for you. Never. Thank Him for what He's done. And thank Him for the great deliverance He's going to bring. Because the great deliverance far outweighed the minor deliverance. Dear Jesus, I thank You again for the opportunity and honor that it is to stand behind this pulpit. Lord God, please help us, each and every one, to love You, to understand our responsibility, and to beg You to open up the storehouses of our blessings that we've had and share them with others. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. Brother John, what are we singing? Number 338, the altar is open.